Hi, Gunner Ted Armstrong. Who do you believe? Who do you know to believe? How do you know who you should believe? I was talking to the host of a talk show, and he told me he was an atheist or an agnostic. And I asked him, well, have you ever just sat down and read in the Bible what the Bible says? And I just picked out one chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection chapter, and asked him if he'd ever just sat down and tried to understand it, what it was. Well, really, he admitted, no, he hadn't done that. I get letters continually where people, in a rather plaintive, complaining tone of voice, will say, now this church says they are right, and another church says they are right, and some other church says yet a third thing, and they all claim to get out of the Bible. And we were discussing this on the talk show. My comment to such people is, listen, as long as you are going to do nothing more than listen to every conceivable argument, comparative religion, toying with and hearing and investigating and studying and reading into what men say and what other human beings say the Bible says, you are going to do one thing, and that's end up absolutely, totally confused. But if you will read what the Bible says for yourself, I like to tell people they're intelligent enough to be able to read, to understand. If they can't, they can have someone read to them, for sure, but the vast majority of the populace is certainly literate. And you know, we want to leave professionals to do professional things for us, like maybe list our home on the real estate market, or get down to buy an automobile, or when you want to go to the dentist or the doctor or something else, you want to get as much professionalism as you possibly can. But when it comes to the Bible, you are enjoined by Scripture itself to prove all things to yourself and not to end up confused and wallowing in an endless morass of conflicting religious precepts and concepts and arguments and doctrines. And really, there's no end to it. It's like a bottomless pit of religiosity and of religious hobbyists and people who will say one thing or another and say, but now I'm telling you the truth. I get what I say out of the Bible. The ultimate proof is the Bible itself, the Scriptures, the Word of God. And the Bible tells you, you must go to the Word of God to see the real truth. Now, I mentioned to this gentleman who claimed he was an agnostic, this first chapter of Romans and verses 18 through about 25 or so, which is a challenge to agnostics. A challenge to skeptics. It says very clearly that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold back the truth and unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is evident to them, as it should read, for God has shown it to them. And I told this gentleman, I said, you ought to be studying the digestive tract of a mosquito. I'm sure he didn't know what in the world I meant. So I went on to say, well, you ought to be studying mineralogy, the cleavage properties of minerals. You ought to be studying the two laws of thermodynamics, the laws of the conservation of energy. You ought to ponder whether or not order comes from chaos, whether or not intricate interdependability, symbiosis, the operation of endless systems inside our ecosphere just happened. You ought to ponder the question as to whether or not explosions in print shops create encyclopedias. You ought to ponder the question, where did your intelligence come from? Are you trying to tell me that your intelligent mind came from something less intelligent than itself? That intelligence is the result of stupidity? That our own human minds, with our five channels of the senses, able to imbibe and to drink in almost seemingly endless permutations and concepts and facts and data and information, experience, which our fabulous computer-like brain is able to tabulate and to carefully sort out and to store in some kind of a fabulous, little understood memory bank. And that all of this, the fact that we are the greatest creature of which we can come to know, and atheists and skeptics are quick to admit that, of course, because anyone who is an agnostic likes to think of himself as intelligent. God, of course, says he's a fool, but that's for him to argue with God, not to me. And that is that he wants to begin to believe that his ancestors were lovesick amoeba, or they were starfish or shellfish or slugs or worms or green slime or brown scum or polka-dotted air bubbles in the sea, or cracks in rocks or something that was bubbling and steeping and seething away in some primordial soup of methane and ammonia back billions of aeons ago, and that this is our ancestor we're looking at. So God's Word challenges such people to say that which may be known of God is right out there in the bright light of day. It is evident. It's obvious. It is right before your eyes. Who in the world can look up on any clear night at the vastness of our own universe? Of course, seeing basically just our own galaxy, but at least with some of the powerful binoculars or the various huge big mirrors and devices that we have today and the pictures that we're able to take even from space probes, we can see way beyond our own limited part of the Milky Way, as it's called, our own galaxy, where there are approximately 200 billion billion stars, and we can see that there are many billions, apparently, of galaxies, and that each one of these may have hundreds of billions or billions of billions of stars. And who in the world can look at that, stare at it, study it, get even a 10-power pair of hunting binoculars and look at Mars with its moons and at the moon itself, our own moon, and not stand in absolute awe and begin to ponder what makes the world act the way it does, what keeps it exactly the correct distance from the sun? Why does it uniquely in our own universe have an atmosphere and water and the life-giving elements necessary for the sustenance and the maintenance of life? I have often said you can be observant about anything around you. You can start with the human hand, with the human sense of hearing, study the human ear, and the entire concept of hearing in animals, insects, birds, and fish. The transmission of sound, study how sound waves travel through the air and also through water. And you have already embarked upon a scientific study which is going to have you with your mouth wide open, gaping in amazement, in profound admiration, in awe of the way certain things work in our very orderly, systematized universe. You can study the sense of touch or the sense of taste or of smell. The human eye with the cones and rods and the iris and the way it focuses so automatically, a little slower when you get a little older. Now you have to have some help sometimes because of physical health problems. But you can study anything that has to do with the human body. The various vital organs and glands of the body, the pituitary and how it acts. And, of course, we know the various diseases that come along where some vital organs are not functioning the way they could, as in the case of people who are diabetics. And certain glands are not producing certain absolute vital substances needed by the body. I want to hasten to add here that there are thousands and thousands of physicists, of nuclear scientists or physicists, of doctors, medical doctors. You know, you don't want to instantly think that anyone who believes in God and religion is non-professional and uneducated and ignorant, and anyone who is educated and anyone who has a college degree and is a professional in any one of the scientific fields would obviously be anti-God and anti-religion and anti-Bible. I could quote to you time and again some of the leading scientists in the world. And the more they looked into science, like Wernher von Braun, for example, you may not have agreed with his politics, and I certainly didn't either. But you could stand in awe of the marvelous things that his mind accomplished, if, in fact, it did result in the engines of war. Nevertheless, he was a noted scientist, and as you know, the head of the space, the arsenal there at Huntsville, Alabama, and, of course, the man who was brought over here who had developed and invented the V-1 and the V-2 rockets for Hitler and eventually was the head of the U.S. manned space program. So Wernher von Braun, who said anyone who looks at the orderliness of the universe, the vastness of the universe, and of course the laws with which he was dealing, could only come up with the conclusion that there had to be a maker, that there had to be some greater intelligence that produced all of this. He was not an atheist. So people who like to think they are agnostic oftentimes remain in a kind of self-imposed cocoon of ignorance, and they don't dare look clearly at the physical universe and the creation and ask simple high school level questions because they're afraid of what they would find out. Now, oftentimes there are motives I've done that in the past, but let's go on now and notice what it says about some of the possible motives for wanting to deny the existence of an all-wise creator God. Because if you admit that God does exist, then you're admitting that God is bigger than you are, that God has the say-so over your eternal life, and that Almighty God is able to judge you, and that you are going to sometime answer to Him, and then you get into the question of morals, mores, morality, laws, human conduct, the question of conscience, the question of sin versus righteousness. So let's notice God says they are without excuse, they can know, they can understand. And then speaking of some of the very forefathers of ancient philosophy, and really some of those who formed the foundation of all of modern education, including Socrates and Plato and other perverts like those, said in verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations or their human reasonings, and their foolish heart, meaning their dumb, stupid minds, were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Strong language. How do you profess yourself to be wise? Well, a lot of people do that. They form an institution. They borrow or they hire those who have been educated in other institutions. Oftentimes, they plow under individuals who graduate in their own institution. Years pass. Students come and go. Libraries are gathered and collected. Courses are taught. Degrees are issued. Laudatory speeches are given. Clichés are endlessly repeated. And presto, over a period of a couple of decades, are some old, snowy-haired, dignified-looking types walking around the hallowed corridors of Ivy League and other colleges with degrees after their names, who don't know God, who don't know what they are, who don't know why they are on this earth, who don't know the way to peace and to happiness and to prosperity, who don't know how to have happy marriages, don't know how to teach that to other people, don't know the laws of physical health, don't understand anything at all about the plan and the purpose of human beings and humanity on this earth, and yet they claim to be educated. It says, professing themselves to be wise. You know, if one man walks up to another man and said, here's your sheepskin, professor, slaps him on the back, shakes his hand, and then he can go and put that on the wall, and that says he's supposed to know something. And people think he's smart. They think he's intelligent. He may be, as God says here, an educated fool. Oftentimes, young parents who are ushered into the waiting room of the doctor when she thinks maybe she's pregnant will look up, and they always treat you to the picture of about 200 volumes. You know, there's a whole lot of books on the shelf in the waiting room, or you get a glimpse of it in the doctor's office. You like to think that the doctor read all those books. If he has perused 0.003% of the lineage of any of those big, thick books, I will be amazed. And oftentimes, lay people stand in awe of those who possess degrees. Well, you needn't do that. You know, David said that the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, had made him wiser than his teachers. And it says here, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. So anyone who doesn't know what he is, doesn't know that God exists, God says, is a fool. Well, write for this booklet, The Real Gospel. And also this booklet about coming earthquakes and volcanic eruptions in Bible prophecy, entitled When God Shakes the Earth. Until next time, this is Garner Ted Armstrong saying goodbye, friends.